When I was in high school, I didn't try that hard in academics. I could have done better, but I just kind of wanted to get by. A D was okay, but not an F. Because an F meant fail, and if you failed, you had to take the course over again, or even worse, maybe the grade over again. It was bad enough the first time. Didn't want to do it a second time. But I also knew that my dad took an F harder than I would, because he knew I didn't need to get an F, and if I would get an F, that would not be good. And I knew that I would be punished, and to be punished by my dad would be meaning that all sports would be taken away. And that was horrible. So I couldn't have that at all. Now, as I think of the crucifixion, many of the people there would have given Jesus an F for fail. Here he was claiming to be the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he was crucified. He was put in a tomb. How could he be the Messiah? In schools, F is not a good thing. But as I was reading the crucifixion accounts in Scripture, three words struck me that begin with the letter F, that Jesus spoke as he was hanging on that cross. They are amazing words of victory and hope and peace. And yet they're words that we don't like to use all that much. This morning we remember what Jesus did for us nearly 2,000 years ago. Today we celebrate Good Friday because of what happened that day, that Christ was crucified, and it reminds us of the immense value of human life in God's eyes. It is for us that Jesus did not regard equality with himself something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave born in human likeness. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. The mockery, the pain, the scorn, the weight of all the world's sins upon him, the turning of God's face from him was awful. We can't even imagine how horrible Christ's crucifixion was. But this morning we want to look briefly at those three words beginning with the letter F that were recorded in Scripture as words from Jesus while he hung on that cross. What makes these words so powerful is that they are words that we rarely like to use, but they are words that transform and change our lives as we allow them to penetrate our hearts. So the first word is forgive. Forgive. Luke chapter 23, 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Now, all of us would have to admit that we've been hurt by people in our lives. Maybe a spouse, or a parent, or a child, or a teacher, or a coach, or a friend. And if we're honest, there's part of us that doesn't want to forgive. We want to hold on to it because it gives us some power. It gives us some power to hold anger and hatred against others. But the problem is that ultimately, we are the ones who suffer, the ones who are holding unforgiveness against others. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." So what's he saying? He's saying, "Father, give them grace," which means give them what they don't deserve, "and mercy, don't give them what they do deserve, eternal death and separation from me." So he's saying, give them grace. And as he's hanging there with all the sins of the world, he's saying, give them grace. But what we often don't understand is for grace and mercy to be shown, there's another half of that coin. And the other half of that coin is judgment and justice for sin. So what Jesus was really saying, "Father, pour out upon these people your grace and your mercy. And I will take their judgment and their justice for sin. That's pretty powerful. It's amazing what Jesus did. And then the other thing to look at here is the them. Who is the them? And it's easy for us to look at that and say, well, obviously it's the religious leaders. And it's the Roman leaders, Pilate. It's the guards, the soldiers. It's the crowd, the bystanders that were there. Obviously, it's all of them. But Jesus didn't die for just all of them. He also died for us. We're included in the them, all of us. Forgiveness is releasing the anger and the forgiveness, or the anger and the judgment and the justice against another, and giving it to God and receiving His grace and mercy and love. And we can have that now because Jesus took upon Himself the judgment and justice for all sin. Jesus, as fully God and fully man, was able to look past the atrocity of all that human beings were committing against Him at Calvary. And He saw them as people who were helpless and needy, and yet He loved them beyond measure. Because of sin, we were all enemies of God. And that's the amazing thing, that Jesus didn't die for us and forgive us when we loved Him. He died when we were His enemies, when we hated Him. The forgiveness that we can experience today is available because Jesus took our place on the cross. And He made forgiveness possible for us, for our sins. We can have our sins forgiven, but we can also forgive others who sin against us. The second word that begins with F is forsaken. Matthew 27, 45 and 46. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These words from Jesus occurred about the ninth hour after sunrise, or about 3 p.m. Jesus had been hanging on the cross for several hours, and the pain caused by the nails and the thorns on His head was severe, and the weight of the sin upon Him was absolutely excruciating. Jesus' words here, His prayer, is deeper in mystery and higher in meaning than any other prayer that Jesus ever prayed. Who desires to be forsaken? None of us. By a friend or even a family member. Several times a year in GEM, we have a traffic jam. And you probably wonder, what's he talking about? How do you have a traffic jam in GEM? Well, we do, because either Andrew and Charlene or the Dorksons are moving their cattle down the road. And they're going from their farm to pasture and then back from the pasture to their farm. And what's interesting in watching this is that the mothers and the calves get separated. And the mothers are bellowing and crying and the calves are not happy. And so it's an interesting idea of being forsaken. But that's nothing in degree or intensity compared to Christ being forsaken by another member of the Trinity, God the Father, while He hung on the cross. Jesus uttered from the cross for His Father to hear, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What's interesting in this also is that Jesus, on this occasion only, called His Father, "My God, my God." He didn't say Father, because He felt that separation from God. Forsaking means to abandon or to leave helpless. Being forsaken by anyone is horrific, but to be forsaken by God is that much worse. Jesus had to be temporarily cut off from the favor and fellowship with the Father that had been His eternally, because He was bearing the sins. He was the sacrifice. He was the substitute. He was the atonement. He was the Christus Victor. He was taking the wrath of God against all sin upon Himself. The physical agony of the cross was awful, but the spiritual alienation from God was the ultimate torture. But in fulfilling Psalm 22, Jesus' words were a cry of victory. He, in a loud voice, was expressing not shock or despair or plight, surprise at his plight, but he was witnessing to the bystanders and to the whole world that he was experiencing forsakenness, not for anything he had done, but for the salvation of all who turn from their sin to him. Jesus is crying out because he's experiencing separation from his Father for the first time. He knew God had not forsaken him, but God did momentarily leave him helpless. Jesus took on himself all the sins of humanity, and God wouldn't intervene to ease any association with the penalty of sin. Sin, even ours, causes suffering and death and separation from God. Christ's words are the only, God had to separate himself from Jesus because he could not look at sin, especially when all the sin of the world was piled on Christ. Have we ever felt alone or forsaken by others? Jesus, above all, knows the feeling. He's experienced it, and so he can give us the understanding and the faith we need in times like these. Jesus was forsaken so that we could live. As we accept God's gift of salvation for us. And so we will never have to then experience that eternal separation from God. What an amazing gift God's given us. The third word is finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Some of you here this morning are in grade 12, and you're looking forward to be finished. You can't wait for that last class, that last assignment handed in, and that last exam. See, it's done. It's finished. Or those of you who are mothers and you've gone through the 9 months of pregnancy, you can't wait till it's done and the baby is put before you. Or you run a half marathon and you want to quit, but you get across that finish line. It's done. Jesus' words, "It is finished," were powerful words, full of compassion for all of us who were helpless to change our hopeless sin problem without Christ dying on the cross for us. Finished means paid in full. That day on the cross, Jesus fulfilled at least 25 messianic prophecies about him from the Old Testament. The expression in Greek, "it is finished," or telestai, was well known to the people of Jesus' day. It was a part of everyday language. A servant completed a difficult task that their master had given them, and they would say to their master, "Telestai, I have overcome all the difficulties. I have done the job to the best of my ability. It is finished." The Jewish people went to the temple with their sacrifices, and the high priest would examine their sacrifice. He would use the Hebrew equivalent of telestai, meaning your offering is accepted. It is perfect. When an artist had finished a painting or scripture, they would stand back. Or a sculpture, they would stand back and say, "Telestai, it is finished. I've done the best that I can with this piece of art. The painting is complete." When a boy recited to his father a difficult passage he had learned from the scriptures, or a girl showed her mother the bread she had baked for her family, they would say, "Telestai." And the parents responded with, "Well done, my child. I am very proud of you." But Christ's words here in our text, "it is finished," were different because they came in the context of enormous suffering and pain. In his book, The Day Christ Died, Jim Bishop conveys the horror of such an execution. He writes, "The executioner laid the crossbeam behind Jesus and brought him to the ground quickly by grasping his arm and pulling him backward. As soon as Jesus fell, the beam was fitted under the back of his neck, and on each side, soldiers quickly knelt on the inside of his elbows. The thorns pressed against his torn scalp. With his right hand, the executioner probed the wrist of Jesus to find the little hollow spot. When he found it, he took one of the square-cut iron nails, raised the hammer over the nail head, and brought it down with force. Two soldiers grabbed each side of the crossbeam and lifted. As they pulled up, they dragged Jesus by the wrists. With every breath, he groaned. When the soldiers reached the upright, the four of them began to lift the crossbeam higher until the feet of Jesus were off the ground. The body must have writhed with pain. When the crossbeam was set firmly, the executioner knelt before the cross. Two soldiers hurried to help, and each one took hold of a leg at the calf. The ritual was to nail the right foot over the left, and this was probably the most difficult part of the work. If the feet were pulled downward and nailed close to the foot of the cross, the prisoner always died quickly. Over the years, the Romans learned to push the feet upward on the cross so that the condemned man could lean on the nails and stretch himself upward to breathe, and the death would take longer and longer. Jesus was saying from the cross that his task of dying on the cross for the sins of the world, the reason he came from heaven to earth, was completed. But also finished was Satan's fate. By Jesus' death, Satan, hell, and the grave were conquered. Jesus had finished the task. He had paid the price in full. He had canceled all of our sin debt against God. His sacrifice had been a perfect one, and nothing could be added ever to what he had done. Amidst all his pain and suffering, Jesus could announce to his Father and all people then and us now that the penalty for sin had been paid in full. Jesus' words were not the concession of a defeated man, or the words of a doomed man, or the relief of a dying man. Jesus' words on the cross were the victor's triumphant shout. Telestai means to finish a task, complete an assignment, or accomplish a goal. Jesus was born on earth to die. His death was the purpose of his life. Salvation is a finished work, and we are made right with God only by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus saves us completely and eternally for this life and forever. Friends, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us was perfect, it never needs to be repeated. The work of salvation that was finished on the cross remains finished, and it always will be finished. Jesus gave his life for others, for them, for us, while we were still sinners, while we were worshiping ourselves or nature or some other things instead of God. I read something in the last week or so that struck me. A few years ago, television news captured the drama of a brave man who gave his life for others. A flight from Florida crashed into the icy waters of the Potomac River, a few feet short of the runway at National Airport. Within minutes, a rescue helicopter was attempting to ladder lift the survivors, whose limbs were frozen and paralyzed by the chilly waters. Suddenly, a lone man dove into the frigid water and hoisted five people onto the ladder before disappearing under the waves. He gave his life for those he did not know. Jesus gave his life for those he did know. That is the amazing part. As we close this morning, let's never forget that Jesus prayed to the Father to forgive everyone who was putting him on the cross through sin while dying for us on that cross. Jesus was also forsaken by God, and we don't have to be as we accept his gift of salvation for us. Jesus loves us, cares for us, and the whole plan of salvation was finished it was completed in full. We can now have a relationship with God and live for him forever. Amen.